I got hurt one day at football practice, roughhousing with one of the players. I tried to get away from him and ran directly into the folding wall that divided the gym into girls' and boys' physical education classes. I had a nasty cut over my eye, and Coach took me to Dr. Rice. Carolyn worked in his office as a nurse for him for over 30 years. He was on the Board of Education, and he was the sports team's physician. When she saw us coming in the front door of the United Memorial Clinic, she rushed out, stopped the coach, and told him,
"Don't bring him in here. You should bring him around to the back door."
She did not want anyone in the office to know that that was her son, all bloody. After I was all stitched up and back at school, Coach asked me,
"Was that really your mother? She acted like she did not want anything to do with you, and you were hurt."
He paused for a moment in disbelief and said,
"That lady hated you."
I grew up with hate. Carolyn did not bother me at the time, but I was more concerned about what the coach might think of me if my own mother had such a wrong opinion. During my time in high school, there was always a party happening at someone's house on the weekend, and sometimes there was beer. After football season, I offered to open up Pat's Cottage in Cowden Lake so we could have a kegger beer party there and stay off the roads. More than 24 athletes were there when Pat broke up the party. He did not want anybody to get into trouble, so he sent everybody home. Later at school, each of us was questioned by the coach and the principal one at a time. When it was my turn, I was the only one out of 27 that admitted to drinking beer at the cottage. Then, I was banned from all extra school activities for the rest of the year. Kids that had been friends of mine all through school were no longer allowed to be around me. They now made fun of me telling the truth. They asked,
"Why didn't you just lie? Everybody else did."
When Pat heard I was the only one that got into trouble for the party, he wanted to go to school himself and tell the coach.
"I was there. I know how many full cups of beer I dumped. You weren't the only one drinking beer."
I did not like the situation I'd put myself into, but I felt worse letting Coach Hybe down after he had supported me for the last 3 years. I was able to calm Pat down a little and convince him not to say anything that would hurt our school sports. The school removed my presidential fitness test awards from the record board in the gym. On the first day of the test, the gym teacher did not believe the person counting was accurate with 103 setups in 2 minutes. So later on, I had to retake the test, and I pumped out 109 setups this time. It was easy. I was small. Dr. Rice knew all about what happened at Pat's Cottage. They were good friends. They talked a lot. They did all kinds of things together. Doc and Pat collected antique clocks, and they were great craftsmen. Together, they built 2 grandfather clocks, one for each of them. I would have gone down the wrong path even further if it had not been for Mr. Blinn, the art teacher. He knew what was going on in my life now that I had been kicked out of sports. The only kids that would have anything to do with me after the party were those who smoked cigarettes and usually ate their lunch down by the shop class. They told me,
"You are all messed up.
We know there's a good kid inside trying to get out, but
you ain't made it yet. So the best thing you can do is forget everything your parents told you
and just start over."
Mr. Blinn pulled me aside in art class one day and let me have it with both barrels. He told me this,
"Why are you hanging around with the wrong people? Stop trying to be just like them. You are better than that."
Mr. Blinn also said,
"Any free time you have, you can always come to the art room and do whatever you want."
That was really cool. I started doing exactly that right away. I made things out of clay and fired them in the kiln. I silkscreened business cards and posters for my band. Mr. Blinn was my best friend when I did not think I had any left. This teacher turned my life towards a more positive direction by giving me the time and space to become myself. He drew me away from hanging around the wrong kids by teaching me how to draw in the art room during my study hall time and any free period. He taught me that giving someone the finger was never a good idea, and I never did it again. Thank you, Mr. Blinn. At the graduation ceremony of the Greenville High School class of 1969, Dr. Rice gave me quite a surprise. When I walked up to the stage to receive my diploma, Dr. Rice stood up, took it away from the principal speaker, and said,
"I'm going to pass this one out."
As he handed it to me, he shook my hand and said,
"Good job, Ronnie, and I am proud of you."
Wow. No one ever told me that before, not even Pat and Caroline. Then he personally handed the diploma to me. I was the only one in my class to receive this honor. And I'm probably the only one today that remembers it. Doc also gave me a beautiful globe of the world for a graduation present. My biggest fear when I graduated from high school in 1969 was getting drafted and having to go to Vietnam and fight in the war. During my high school years, the dreams of being captured by the enemy kept me from getting a good night's sleep. Back then, if your grades were not good enough, they would draft you right out of high school. One day you were in school, and before you knew it, the military was your new home. I still remember my draft number was 256. I would later write about this. Draft that sends the chill up your back just when life has begun, when you're 12 to 21. When I was requested to register at the draft board, they told me that they needed small young men like me for a particular service. They would give me a flashlight and a 45 pistol. They would make me a tunnel rat. My job would be to seek out and destroy the enemy that lived underground in the tunnels. I knew that the Lord was always there for me. It was easy to put my trust in Him because of my personal experience as a child. To this day, how a 4F military deferment came to me in the mail is a mystery. But I knew that my personal relationship with our Lord had saved me from what I feared. In 1968, John Large was a 550 machine gunner at Chau Lai in Vietnam. He was stationed at the Maracal 23rd Infantry Division. He was in Unit G Battery, 55th Automatic Weapon Self-Propelled Unit. The Vietnam pictures in the book are from his personal record of his time serving our country. He also played drums and sang on recordings at Northern Star. Thank you, John Large.